I Got a Sweet Tooth and a Taste for You. Written by Hapa Kitsune. Read by Ashes and Ghost. Sydney first notices the bakery when it's being built. It takes the place of a run-down deli that took forever to finally die, even though no one ever seemed to go there. Sydney hopes the new bakery has more luck. It looks like a nice place, brightly painted with a cheerful sign displaying the name Ludmilla Bakery. He doesn't think much about it until someone mentions that Ovechkin likes the place, and then it shows up in an actual interview with Ovechkin that his mother sends him, asking, "Have you been to this place?" It's just a little piece, with a picture the caption says is from Ovechkin's Twitter, and in it Ovechkin talks about how hard it is to find authentic Russian food in the United States, before name-dropping a couple of places, including Ludmilla Bakery. Sydney sends his mom an email saying, "I pass it on the way to the training rink, but I haven't been," and doesn't think about it again. And then, one day Sydney is driving past on his way home, and something makes him stop in at the bakery. He's a little hungry, and he's in the mood to indulge himself. Inside, there's a tall, lanky man behind the counter, flour smudged on his cheek and in his hair, smiling as he speaks rapid Russian to a woman buying a pastry. She thanks him, accepting a box from a tiny girl who peeks over the edge of the counter. The man lifts up the girl on top in front of the cash register and crouches down so their faces are equal. Sydney goes up to them as the little girl starts giggling. She hops down and darts off into the back. The man behind the counter, his badge reads Yevgeny, smiles at Sydney. "My niece," he says in heavily accented English. "Still young. Thinks baking is exciting." He leans forward. "What do you like?"
"I don't know," Sydney confesses. "I saw Alex Ovechkin mention this place, and I drive past here every day, so I thought I'd come in."
Yevgeny's eyes light up.
"Ah, yes. Sonya say he do that."
He contemplates Sydney for a moment.
"If you let, I pick for you."
"I'm kind of picky," Sydney says, which isn't really true since he'll eat almost anything put in front of him, but he doesn't want to be given something really weird.
"I pick best," Yevgeny promises. "Have to pick best for Sidney Crosby, yes?"
Sidney goes red and stutters, "You know who I am?" Yevgeny makes a dismissive noise.
"No, Sonya, you think I don't know you?"
He holds up his finger and smiles. "1 minute." He disappears into the back, presumably the kitchen, for a few minutes. When he returns, he's carrying a cookie wrapped in a piece of wax paper.
"Here."
He holds it out. Sydney looks at it and bursts out laughing. Yevgeny had taken a gingerbread man and carefully piped on frosting in the colors of Sydney's jersey, the 87 drawn neatly on the front.
"I feel kind of weird eating myself, but thank you," he says.
He gropes for his wallet, but Yevgeny waves him off.
"Free," he says. "First time here, yes? If you like, come back and I pick something new."
"Thank you," Sydney says, still grinning at the cookie. He snaps a picture of it for Taylor, knowing she'll appreciate it, and then looks up.
"I'm sure I'll see you soon, Ev..."
Yevgeny holds his hand up.
"Gino,"
he says. "Gino," Sydney says, rolling the name around in his mouth.
"Okay. Bye, Gino." "Come back soon, Sidney Crosby," Gino calls after him. "Always need more business."
Sydney saves the cookie until he goes home and is in the process of breaking off Gingerbread Sydney's head when Taylor texts him back, saying, "Make sure it isn't a voodoo cookie," smile. Sydney scowls and texts back, "Shut up." The cookie is good. Sydney never has gingerbread except at Christmas, and then it's always store-bought and a little stale-tasting, but this one is rich and almost spicy. He sighs and sits back, wishing he had asked for more than one. Not that he should be eating a lot of cookies, he reminds himself guiltily. Despite that, he ends up going back the next day. Gino is waiting for him, a smug smile on his face, and he says,
"Hello, Sidney Crosby."
"Hi," Sidney says, shoving his hands into his pockets nervously. "That cookie was really good."
"I know." Gino's grin grows wider. "I make good cookies."
"You make them?" Sidney asks. "Oh." Gino snorts indignantly.
"Would not let other people do my work."
He holds out a gloved hand and smiles. "Penguin cookie, for penguin captain."
Sydney looks down at the little round cookie, which does indeed look like a penguin. He smiles and takes it. Do you have more?
Taste first. Tell me if you like,
Gino says sternly, pointing at the cookie, and Sydney obediently takes a bite.
It's good. Really good.
And crumbly. Sydney hastily brings his hand up to catch the crumbs and wipe his mouth.
Good, he says through a mouthful of cookie.
Gino raises his eyebrows disapprovingly at him, and Sydney hastily swallows.
It's good, he says more clearly this time. Do you have more?
I do, Gino says. Should watch your stomach.
He pats his totally flat stomach and says,
or you get fat, like me.
You look great, Sydney says without thinking, and Gino's mouth curves up into a sneaky smirk. Sydney's cheeks heat up.
I mean...
Big compliment, Sidney Crosby, think I look great, Gino says serenely, beaming at him. He turns around, voice carrying as he continues,
I make many penguin cookies. Think I sell them because of you, but if you want to buy...
I want to bring them to the team, Sidney says, which is a lie, as he definitely wants to eat all of them himself. But he thinks maybe they'll like them, and if they don't want them, well, more for him.
I make you box, Gino says, popping up and beaming at him. Tell team where you buy. Get more business.
Of course, Sydney says. He pulls out his wallet. How much? So, weighed down with a box of penguin cookies, Sydney leaves for practice. The team stares when he opens the box, and Flower says,
Cookies?
They're really good, Sydney says. He closes the box and says, But not until after practice. Duper, who had been reaching out, yanks his hand back guiltily.
Aw, he says, slumping.
Practice is good. They've been on a hot streak lately, and everyone's in a good mood, so it's light, upbeat, and Flower is shouting smack from his goal. Sydney flicks a puck towards him and calls, Be nice if you want a cookie. After they leave the ice and cool down, Sydney talks to the beat reporters before inviting them to try the cookies too. Ben, through a mouthful of cookie, says,
They're really good,
and sprays crumbs everywhere. Where did you get these? Tanger asks, wandering up to Sydney with his towel wrapped around his waist. He flicks back his wet hair and snags another cookie. They're very good. From Ludmilla Bakery, Sydney says. Gaunch looks up at that, eyes narrowed.
That is the one Ovechkin likes, yes?
He asks.
You went to Ovechkin's bakery? Yells Jordy from across the room. You traitor!
Ugh, shut up. Up, Sydney groans. It's good, okay? The guy who works there is a Penguins fan.
They're good cookies, says Tanger, ignoring everyone else. Do they make other things? Maybe cake?
I'm sure they do, Sydney says. What do you want cake for?
Always good to know where to buy cake, Tanger says, shrugging.
So Sydney gives him the address, collects the leftover cookies, and returns home, relatively pleased with his day.
You send me many customers, Gino says when Sydney comes in next week. They say, Sidney Crosby, tell us good cookies are from here. Do you make cake? Coffee?
He smiles.
We'll have to hire more people.
Oh, are you the owner? Sydney asks, feeling a bit stupid.
Yes, my brother and me, Gino says, not looking offended in the slightest. He do the business. I do the baking. And marketing, he adds, smiling shyly. Talk to hockey players. Get business. Win both ways, see?
You like hockey? Sydney asks, leaning against the counter.
Played when I small.
Gino gestures with his hands. But my family move and I stop. We move to U.S. when I am 16. My brother go to business school, I go to pastry school. Still watch, though.
You should come to a game sometime, Sydney says. We could make you official cookie maker of the team.
I make things, not cookies. Gino says, narrowing his eyes. I show you. He leaves Sydney at the counter for a minute before coming back with a doily-lined plate. On top of it is a circle of chocolate cake, drizzled with red sauce with strawberries on top.
Ooh, Sydney says involuntarily, mouth-watering. What is this?
Gino says something in Russian that Sydney can't hope to recreate, then smiles and explains,
Chocolate cake with strawberry. Try, new recipe.
He holds out a fork. Sydney obediently takes it and carves out a piece. He can feel Gino's eyes on him as he raises the fork to his mouth and does his best not to look up, feeling self-conscious. He makes an involuntary noise at the first bite, eyes sliding shut. It's amazing, rich and decadent and thick, and has just the right amount of fruity tang from the strawberry sauce. "Oh my God," Sydney says, looking up. "This is incredible." Gino flushes with pleasure, smile widening. He has a really beautiful smile, Sydney thinks helplessly. "Glad you like." "Have you tried it?" Sydney asks, holding his fork out to him. "You should eat some." Gino accepts the fork and takes a bite from the other side of the cake. He chews, eyes narrowing thoughtfully, and then says, "Not enough spice." "It's perfect, shut up," Sydney says.
"Who is Baker here?" asks Gino, raising his eyebrows. "Here, eat more."
"I shouldn't," Sydney says, backing away regretfully. "It's so rich."
"Well, come back tomorrow. I make you something healthy," Gino suggests, taking the cake back.
He takes another bite and grins, mouth smeared with chocolate. Sydney's mouth goes dry, and he stutters out a goodbye before fleeing. He only realizes once he's at the rink that he hadn't paid him anything. It becomes a bit of a routine. Sydney drops by at least once a week when he's in town and buys whatever pastry Gino has decided to make for him. Some of them are Russian pastries, made with honey and nuts and fruit, and some of them are scones or cupcakes or muffins. They're all delicious, and Sydney has to throw in some extra exercises into his routine so that he doesn't feel bad about it. He avoids the bakery when the Capitals are in town, just out of his own sense of self-preservation, and when he comes back in the next week, Gino looks tired but happy.
"Sonya very happy when he hear you come here too," he says, clapping Sydney on the arm as he returns from pouring a customer a cup of coffee. "Say he happy you learn to appreciate Russia."
Sydney rolls his eyes.
"Yeah, okay."
Gino beams at him and holds out a slice of banana bread.
"For you."
"Thank you," Sydney says, smiling, and he eats it while leaning against the counter. He finds himself missing Gino and Gino's pastries during the summer, which he tells himself is ridiculous, but the first time he goes back to the bakery after returning to Pittsburgh, his world feels as though it's been set back on its axis.
"Sidney Crosby," Gino says.
There's a man with him who looks like he's probably his brother. They have the same eyes.
"I did not know you return. Have no special food for you."
"It's okay," Sydney says, smiling. "Hi, Gino."
"Hello, Sid."
Gino grins back at him. The man next to him clears his throat and elbows Gino in the ribs. Gino turns on him and says something in Russian.
"Hello," the man says, ignoring Gino. "I am Dennis, Zhenya's brother."
"Hi," Sydney says, instinctively sticking out his hand. "I'm Sydney."
"Yes," Dennis says, nodding. He shakes Sydney's hand. "I know. Zhenya talk about you all the time." "I do not," Gino protests, going pink. "All the time," Dennis repeats. "Thank you for bringing business."
"Yes," Gino says, nodding. "Very nice of you." Sydney slants him a small smile, and Gino grins back at him before saying,
"Not have anything special today. We'll make something tomorrow."
Dennis rolls his eyes and says something in Russian that has Gino hitting him before bullying him into the back.
"Big brother," he says when he comes back, "must bully me."
"I'm the big brother in my family," Sydney says. "I don't do that."
"You special, obviously," Gino says.
Special. He strokes his chin playfully. "Can eat something better today?"
"If you mean less healthy, then yes," Sydney smiles. "I planned out my diet this week for this."
Gino beams.
"Great."
He ducks behind the display case and comes back up with a slice of pie, decadent and obscene looking.
"What is that?" Sydney asks, eyes going wide.
"Peanut butter pie," Gino says proudly. "Know you like peanut butter. Think maybe you like this?"
"It looks amazing," Sydney breathes.
He drags his finger through the whipped cream on top, unable to stop himself, and licks it off.
"You're amazing, you know that?"
"Yes, I am best," Gino says, voice sounding slightly strangled. Sydney glances up, concerned. Gino clears his throat, then holds out a fork.
"Don't eat with hands."
"Right," Sydney shifts, embarrassed, but takes the fork and eats the entire slice of pie right there under Gino's watchful eye. For the first few weeks after they diagnose his concussion, Sydney doesn't leave his house. It sucks. Sydney has never been so bored in his entire life. He can read for a few minutes at a time before his head starts hurting. He can watch TV on mute sometimes, and he's not allowed to work out. It's basically his version of hell. Once he feels well enough to leave the house, he starts spending an hour or so every few days outside. He even manages to get to the bakery. And once he spends one day there, he keeps going back for the quiet and the company. At first, Gino doesn't bother him, just occasionally appears to give him a cookie or a slice of cake and a cup of tea. But one day, when business is slow, he takes the seat across from him. "How is head?" he asks, tapping his temple and smiling gently. Sydney wonders how Gino knows, then remembers that Gino's a fan. He probably had read the news. "It's okay. I stay at home when it's bad." Gino looks sad at that. And Sydney hates that, hates when he can tell that people are pitying him. So he takes a bite of the red velvet cupcake Gino had given him and concentrates on that instead. When he meets Gino's eyes again, Gino is smiling. "What?" Sydney asks, swallowing. "Frosting on mouth," Gino says, and he leans across the table to swipe his thumb along the edge of Sydney's lips. Sydney stills, watching as Gino casually licks the frosting off of his thumb. Gino looks up and meets his eyes. "Sorry." "It's okay," Sydney says, voice coming out breathy. He swallows, smiles, and attends to the cupcake again. He comes to the bakery the next day, and it's busy, so he stays out of Gino's way, eating the meat pastry Gino gives him. He's been experimenting with savory lunch foods, apparently, and drinking water. Gino looks frazzled, he notes, and he ends up leaving without saying goodbye. Gino is indignant about that when Sydney comes back. "Bad manners, not say goodbye," he scolds, pulling Sydney toward the counter and sitting him down. "Maybe I not give you good pastry today."
"You won't do that," Sydney says, narrowing his eyes.
"Yes, you are right," Gino sighs. "I like you too much." He leaves before Sydney has the chance to say anything in response. The lunch crowd starts to thin out about 10 minutes later, and Gino drops into the seat across from Sydney with a grateful sigh.
Maybe introducing lunch not good idea.
He pushes a bowl of dumplings towards Sydney.
"Try."
Sydney obediently eats the dumplings under Gino's watchful eye and assures them they're great, delicious, just like everything else Gino makes. "You'll make someone a good husband one day," Sydney concludes, and Gino looks sad for a moment.
"Sorry, I
can't marry in Pittsburgh," Gino says, shrugging. "Have to go to Boston or Canada." It takes Sydney a moment to make the connection, and he says,
"Oh."
Gino is watching him carefully. It's the first time this has ever happened to Sydney, which is a little ironic, all things considered, and he makes a point of setting down his fork before saying,
"Me too."
Gino's face goes through a series of complicated expressions before eventually settling on a shy smile.
"Oh,"
he echoes, and he nudges Sydney's foot under the table.
"Won't tell."
"Didn't think you would." Sydney picks up his fork again. "Thank you, by the way."
"For what?"
"For this." Sydney gestures at the whole bakery. "For being nice to me."
"Plenty people are nice to you, Sid," Gino says dryly.
"For being my friend, then," Sydney says. "If we're friends?" Gino purses his lips and then smiles.
"Yes."
"Okay," Sydney says, and he eats another dumpling. Sydney's health comes and goes, but his ritual of going to Gino's remains the same when he's in Pittsburgh. He tries not to think too much about how important it's become for him to see Gino, to make him smile. On days when Gino is cranky or sad, Sydney does his best to make him laugh, telling him about Flower's latest prank or who lost the Mustache Boy contest. "I'm not a burden, am I?" Sydney asks him one day. "You must get tired of coming up with new recipes for me."
"Never," Gino says, shaking his head. "Pick good ones, sell those. Sell best.
And I like you, Sid. He smiles shyly. Happy when you're here. We'll be sad when you're better. Happy for you, but... He shrugs. Thanks, Sidney says. I think. What I say is, I will miss you, Gino says. He flushes, ducks his head, and says, sorry. What? Why are you apologizing? Sidney reaches across the table and touches the back of Gino's hand. I'll miss you too. Gino looks up, and whatever he sees on Sidney's face must please him, because he smiles and turns his hand palm up so he can squeeze Sidney's fingers. Good. And we'll still see each other, Sidney points out. I'm not going to stop coming. Gino's smile grows even wider. Better, he says. You should come to a game, Sidney says. When I come back, I'll get you tickets. Only if good seats, Gino says, grinning, and Sidney laughs and doesn't pull his hand out of Gino's grasp. When he gets cleared, again, and it seems like they've finally worked out what's wrong with him, the first thing he does is pick up a ticket to their home game against the Jets, and he drives to Ludmilla. It's crowded, and Sidney doesn't see Gino, just some of the new people Gino had hired, under duress if his brother is to be believed. He asks one of them where Gino is, and she points to the back. Sidney hesitates, then decides that Gino probably won't get too mad if he sneaks into the back. He ducks behind the counter and pushes through the curtain to the back and follows the sound of off-key singing. Gino's in the kitchen, wearing an apron and covered in flour, singing along to a tiny radio as he mixes batter. Sidney leans against the doorway and watches him, unable to help his smile as Gino does a funny little dance move, bringing him around to face Sidney. Sid! Gino says, nearly dropping the bowl. He quickly recovers it and sets it down on the counter, brushing off his hands and biting his lower lip. What? Did not know you are here. I figured you were busy, so I let myself in, Sidney says, stepping forward. Sorry. No, is okay, just surprised. Gino smiles, a little hesitantly. Not usual time. I know. Sidney pulls out the ticket from his jacket pocket and holds it out. For you. Gino frowns and takes it from him. He looks at it for a long time, longer than it can possibly take to read it, and Sidney starts to fidget nervously. Finally, Gino looks up and says, You are better. Yes, Sidney says, word rushing out of him, and that's not my first game back, but that's going to be on a road game, and I didn't want to make you travel. Oh, should I have gotten you two tickets? Do you have... He hesitates, and then falls silent, unable to force out the word boyfriend. Luckily, Gino seems to know where he was going. No, I have no one to bring. He looks down at the ticket again. Glad you're better, Sid. You're going to come, aren't you? Sidney asks. He shoves his hand into his pockets anxiously. You said you would. Yes, Gino says. He shakes his head and looks up with a smile. It feels wrong, though false and forced. And Sidney doesn't know what he's doing wrong. I come. Great. Sidney hesitates, then edges closer to Gino. Gino looks down at him. There's flour smudged on his cheekbone, oddly charming. Sidney reaches up, feeling hypnotized, and rubs at it with his thumb. Gino inhales sharply, and he says, Sid, what are you doing? I don't know, Sidney admits. He reaches out, takes the ticket, and tucks it into Gino's apron pocket. I want you to know that I really like you. Really like you too, Gino breathes, starting to smile for real now. Is why I miss you. You can have me, Sidney says. You don't have to miss me. He rests his hand on Gino's neck, thumb tracing just under his jaw, and finally, Gino leans down those last few inches and kisses him. Sidney clutches at the back of Gino's head, pulling him closer, and Gino wraps his arms around Sidney's waist tightly before kissing him more thoroughly. Sidney's heart is pounding so hard he's sure Gino can feel it against his chest, and it's perfect, better than anything Sydney could have ever imagined. Gino pulls back reluctantly, looking winded. I have to bake, he says, not letting go of Sydney. You have employees now, Sydney points out. I not trust them with baking. Gino kisses Sydney again, biting at his lower lip, and then steps back with a sigh. Stay? After I take you to dinner. Yeah, Sydney says, beaming. Okay. He looks around for a place to sit, and Gino snorts. Outside, Sid, he says, pointing. You promise I still see you, and good, I want to see you, but kitchen is for cooking, not kissing.
It could be for kissing, Sydney says, but he obediently leaves and goes to claim his usual corner table.
Gino emerges about half an hour later with a batch of new scones. He brings one over to Sydney with a little pot of blackberry jam and sets it down on the table. Sydney grins down at the scone. It's shaped like a heart.
Because for you, Gino says. Can't make brain to celebrate head, but can make heart for us.
Sydney's heart flips over a bit at that. Sit and help me eat this, Sydney says, pointing. Your customer demands it of you.
Who am I to deny customer? Gino asks, sitting obediently,
and he watches as Sydney eats the scone, still smiling. Under the table, Gino tucks his ankle behind Sydney's. The end. Thank you for listening.